Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the seven route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
Welcome into the playbook for a Thursday. Prediction Thursday on Patriots.com radio. I'm John Rook. Eric Scalavino from PFW will be here as soon as he's done in the locker room, as they had some late interview sessions this afternoon going on from today's practice earlier. So we'll get the very latest on the practice update from E coming up in just a little bit. Hour number two of the program, Russell Baxter will join us as we look around week 16 throughout the National Football League. And so now it's time for you to step up and tell us what you think. I'm sure you've had an opportunity to consider where these Patriots are in the overall landscape. You've heard our negativity throughout the course of the week here on the program, for lack of a better phrase. I really can't come up with anything else. It does seem like we've been sort of negative around here. But frankly, I think it's because, A, we're not used to doing it, and B, we're just sort of resigned to the fact that, you know, this team is not going to appreciably, you know, gain any more realistically than it already has. If that's negative, then so be it. I prefer to look at it as realistic rather than being negative. But you can take it for whatever way you want to take it. It's time for you to step up now and let us know how you feel about Sunday's game. Prediction Thursday is just that. Prediction time from you and for you. And yes, we do have the yearbook / media guide still at stake. Anybody that gets the correct answer, the correct final score, will receive one, as we did earlier this year. So it's very simple. Email us, webradio@patriots.com. Toll free on the telephone line, 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. Or the ACE ticket hotline, 508-298-0398. At JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook. Last name is spelled R-O-O-K-E, on Facebook. Those are the ways that you reach us. Those are the ways that you get your score predictions in. And those are the ways that you tell us that we're all full of it and the Patriots are going to win after all. Or maybe you don't feel that way. Maybe you don't feel that way. Maybe you feel like, I don't know, some of the national pundits are trying to tell us. I read one today in the Sporting News that had the Ravens beating the Patriots 24-20. I was looking at CBSSports.com just a short while ago. They have 8 NFL experts on CBSSports.com. 4 of them are picking the Ravens to win. That's not unreasonable. Tells me that that's pretty much a toss-up game, right? On ESPN.com, not so much the toss-up. 13 analysts are listed. 11 of them pick the Ravens to win. Only 2, Tom Jackson and Ron Jaworski, did not, and neither one of those guys made a pick. They abstained. It's not overwhelmingly in the Patriots' favor on ESPN.com. I would tell you that on ESPNBoston.com with Mike Reese and former Patriot linebacker Teddy Bruschi. On their breakdown today, both pick the Ravens to win. I don't know if you feel like that's sacrilege where Bruschi's concerned, but that's not Bruschi's job anymore these days, to protect the Patriots' fortunes and protect them defensively. It's his job to be analytical and try to break it down and hope that we, you, all of us can understand where the strong points, where the weaknesses are, and what he thinks, in his best opinion, the Patriots figure into this. And Teddy Bruschi also feels like Baltimore's got a little bit too much. The Patriots are a little bit too banged up. And the major difference in this game happens to come from the fact that Baltimore is at home. Of course, we all know what happened last year when Baltimore was here for the AFC Championship, too. It may just be that they've got the Patriots' number. I don't know. All I can tell you is that it's overwhelming on the Ravens' side. Showtime's Inside the NFL. Chris Collinsworth picks the Ravens. Franco Harris, however, picks the Patriots. Phil Sims abstains because he's on the broadcast for CBS. NFL.com, there are five analysts there. Four of them pick the Ravens. What do you want me to tell you, folks? That's just the way that the national breakdown is going right now. I haven't completely, I'm got to admit, I'm certainly leaning that direction, as Andy coerced from me before the end of the last show. I haven't really found a lot, though, that keeps me from thinking that direction. My greatest concern is that if the Patriots do drop this game, then there's a heck of a lot of pressure put on this team for Buffalo that probably doesn't need to be. And you certainly don't have the luxury of getting time off. You've got to win the game to get into the playoffs, to clinch the division finally, because you're not getting in as a wild card. Not going to happen. Miami wins this division. The Patriots are not getting in at 10-6 as a wild card. So you're going to, it's division or bust. You're going to get a home game. You might have to play wild card weekend as opposed to playing in divisional playoff weekend, which would be a week earlier than you originally thought. But at least you're in. And it means getting three wins as opposed to getting two wins, you know, to get to the big one. So, you know, it's an uphill battle. That goes without saying. It's an uphill battle. Fact of the matter is that, you know, here's the thing that really has caused me to consider heavily the Patriots' chances in this one. Fact is that Baltimore has had some good fortune over the course of their winning streak. You could certainly say, you know, that it's been a stretch of pretty good luck. Some people in Baltimore are liking to say that it's karma. Other in Baltimore are probably thinking that it's destiny, because this was a team that, you know, did win the Super Bowl last year with a late charge in the season. And then they, of course, took that charge right through the playoffs, won here, won the Super Bowl. So maybe they just kind of feel like, hey, this is our time of year. Kind of funny. Seems like the Patriots were in that very same position not too long ago. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, the way that they won games have been kind of, let's just say, fortunate. Not really fluky, but fortunate. You know, Ben Roethlisberger on Thanksgiving came up with came up short on a 2-point conversion. Ravens had their big comeback against Minnesota, and then you got a 61-yard field goal to basically beat a dysfunctional Detroit Lions team last week. So, I mean, yeah, they've certainly had their share of the breaks. You have to realize, though, that they probably are pretty confident, even though they've lost at home once this year, they're pretty confident in the fact that they are going to be back at home, that they can kind of control their own destiny. Now, here's the flip side to that. We all know that the Patriots seem to play a little bit better when they know they're kind of up against it. And while they can't mathematically be eliminated on Sunday, they certainly can do themselves a world of good by winning, clinching the division, and potentially getting a home field advantage where you might be able to rest some folks against Buffalo in the season finale. You have a team that is anxious in a lot of ways to prove itself still, because they are down so many key players now on both sides of the football. You've got some young players that are still anxious to prove themselves. You've got some veteran players who are chomping at the bit to get back out there and show that, hey, we're a little bit more than just this. Tom Brady would certainly come to mind where that's concerned. How much is that really worth in the marketplace? Especially when you take into consideration what we've spent the majority of this week kind of, you know, bitching and moaning about, and that's the lack of really what we would call sound decision-making, play calling, or lack thereof. Hasn't been a lot of it. Not a lot that's really caused any of us to really think, you know, too much differently about this team's, you know, chances when it comes to playing teams that are, you know, in championship contention. I don't like the matchups. Now, on the other end, you've got a Baltimore team that might be a little bit wounded with Joe Flacco having, you know, had the mild MCL sprain, getting the helmet to the knee last week. You know, he has been limited in practice this week, so we've been told and so we've read. But, you know, he's going to wear a knee brace on the knee on Sunday. You can't really expect that that's going to really affect him all that much, can you? Can Justin Tucker continue to, you know, absolutely make mincemeat out of other team special teams units? He's get, what, 32, 33 field goals in a row? Popped one in from 61 a week ago. I mean, the guy's been absolute money. I frankly think that it'll probably come down to a field goal kick either way. It'll either be Tucker or Gostkowski. One or the other will be the difference in this football game on Sunday. Now, have they shown toughness? Yeah, the Ravens have shown toughness. They are in the playoff position that they are because they have gutted it out when they were 4-6. They were below 500 and looking very much like here's a defending champ that isn't going to even get a chance to defend its title in the dance. They've ripped off four straight, some of them in somewhat spectacular fashion, others in not so much. But they've won four, and now they're putting some heat on Cincinnati for the division title. And so now Cincinnati's looking over their shoulders, seeing, you know, Baltimore charging hard, and yeah, the last game of the season, they've got a chance to take it right from Cincinnati, but they've got to play New England first. And that could be, at least in my estimation, the way that I'm thinking, that could be another factor involved here. Could Baltimore actually be caught looking ahead to Cincinnati? Now, I'm gathering here that Baltimore's not that dumb. Baltimore's not that stupid. Baltimore knows better, because if they take New England for granted, they'll get popped. And I think even they have to realize that. But I'll just kind of lay it out there to you. I'll kind of get it out there to you. I would tell you that I think the huge factor in this game on Sunday will be whether or not a team can convert in the red zone a touchdown over a field goal. We know both teams are pretty much money when it comes to kicking field goals, especially when you get into the red zone. Which team, though, inside the opponent's 20-yard line can score a touchdown? Patriots have struggled with it. Ravens have too, but of late they've been better with it. I don't know. It's very intriguing. I don't see that the Patriots are going to have a tremendous amount of trouble with the run, because Baltimore's run game has been subpar, even with Ray Rice, who still seems to be more than capable. So that actually might play into New England's hands. I'm curious to try to figure out where Aqib Talib might find his coverage talents. Torrey Smith, as we know, a year ago had a great game. An emotional game, because he was coming off of a death in the family, but he had a great game against New England in the 1-point win in Baltimore, you know, over a year ago now. Does he find himself there? Does he find himself elsewhere? How much of a factor is Dennis Pitta, who's kind of rounding back into shape and missing most of the year with injury, but now he's back at a tight end spot? How much of a factor can he be? How much attention do the Patriots need to pay to him over the middle of the field? It always does seem, though, like Joe Flacco is able to kind of hit his targets, doesn't it? That's the one thing. You can make a lot of criticisms about Flacco, but that seems to be the one thing that he's always able to do. He's always able to come up with a pretty big play when he needs it. And that's the general impression that I've kind of been left with him. He doesn't do anything that wows you. He doesn't really, you know, he doesn't wing it with some of the best gunslingers out there. But part of the reason that he was able to, you know, glean the huge contract that he did in the offseason is that he was able to run the ship enough to put his team in position to get a win. And he did have a pretty spectacular postseason last year, interceptionless postseason. And at least this year, while his numbers haven't been overwhelming, he has been at least efficient enough to overcome the deficiencies that they've had primarily on the defensive side of the ball. They're doing just enough to win games. Last week against Detroit was a perfect example. Six field goals. I don't want to say it's luck, but I will say that when a team starts believing in itself, things happen positively. The Patriots are not there yet. They do not believe in themselves enough to overcome the adversity. And yes, I know they've got all these come-from-behind wins. Several of them that have kept this team and this entire season afloat to this point in time. This we know. From all of the, you know, double-digit second-half comebacks that they had in a row before finally stubbing their toe last week in Miami. I don't necessarily call that a belief in oneself as I would call it, whew, we got by another one. And I think there's a difference there. Whereas I get the feeling that Baltimore is probably more convinced that they're capable of pulling this off. I'm not sure that the Patriots are there yet. And that, in and of itself, may be the difference in the game on Sunday. Now, Patriots could prove me wrong. Patriots might decide, to hell with this. We got to win. We got to play. They're going to come out like gangbusters. Maybe they'll come up with a plan that, you know, wow, will blow us all away. Maybe finally somehow, you know, Josh McDaniels can keep from making stupid play calls. I don't know. It might happen. It could. And that's the thing I think that, you know, as a Patriots fan, it probably should bother you a little bit. You know that this team is capable. Even in its lessened state with the injuries, you know that this team is still capable because they've done it before. So there should be at least a certain amount of confidence on their side. I would just wager right now that there's more on Baltimore's side. And plus the fact that you just really can never, you can never, ever take home field advantage for granted. The Ravens are what, 2.5-point favorite? I think it was 2.5. That's about home field advantage. So you put these two teams on a neutral site, you know, put them at MetLife Stadium where the Super Bowl is going to be. It's an even matchup. The 2.5 that the Ravens are getting is basically the 2.5 they'd be getting anyway. Sometimes if it's as much as 3, and I've always been told it's usually 3 points for a home field advantage, then you'd have to say, well, the Patriots might be a slight favorite on a neutral field. I don't know if that's the case here, but just for argument's sake, it would be pretty much a statistical toss-up on a neutral field. So to get that back, the Patriots have to do something special. They got to make one more big play, in my estimation, than does Baltimore in this game. That big play comes from, at least in my estimation, the defense turning Baltimore over. We haven't seen the defense turn anybody over the last couple of weeks. It's going to be difficult, I think, unless the Patriots can grab a turnover and unless they can get points out of that turnover. It's one thing to grab a turnover when you're making a stop if the other team has the ball deep and you're into the field. It's another thing entirely when you come up with a turnover when the opposing team has the ball on their end of the field. Then you've got pressure on you to get points out of it. The Patriots' defense needs to get a turnover on Baltimore's side of the field to make it easier for the Patriots' offense to get points on the board. I'll take the defensive turnover if it's the only way you can get them off the field. That means that Baltimore's driving. Take it, stop the drive. Hey, that's great. I don't care what you do with it. At least you stop the drive. But the Patriots are going to need more than that on Sunday. They're going to need the defense to make a stop and get a pick or a fumble or some kind of a big play on Baltimore's half to make it easy for the Patriots offense to gain some kind of an advantage in a game that means just as much to Baltimore as it does to New England. And maybe more so to Baltimore. That's an arguable fact. But anyway, that's how I kind of look at it in a nutshell. I've kind of glossed over. I've kind of given you a little bit of the insight as to really what has kind of torn me apart back and forth on this. And where I've kind of gone with it. So now it's time for you to kind of tell me where you think and what you think is going to happen. So here you go, webradio at patriots.com, 855-PATS-500. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. What do you think, Pats Nation? Got to hear from you today. Put up or shut up time today. Let's see where you stand. Are you behind the team? Are you realistic? Do you have faith? Do you have no faith? That's what I'm looking for today. All comers welcome. The other issue that I wanted to talk about today, what we've been talking about the last couple of days here on the program, it's our Patriots.com radio Christmas party. We have to continue that thought process here today. This is the last show that we will have before Christmas, because next week, as many of you know, Christmas Day is on Wednesday. We will not be here on Christmas Day, Wednesday. We will not be here on Christmas Eve Day, Tuesday, because traditionally that's a holiday that the Patriots organization
is. Well, I'll be here, but we won't be.
Well, will you have PFW on Tuesday?
We're going to do, Fred wants to do a podcast in the morning, like early in the morning.
Okay.
He wants to do like a 10 a.m. podcast. So we're going to do that. And then we'll wrap up hopefully by midday.
So there you go. And everybody goes home early,
which will be great.
Yeah. So there will be some programming there. It just won't be a live program.
Yeah. Most people, because it's in such an unusual time slot, my guess is most people won't be able to listen live. They'll listen on the podcast.
Which makes sense. And you get a chance to be with your family, and that's where you should be. So we won't be back here in the playbook until a week from today. Day after Christmas on Thursday the 26th. We'll have one day to kind of set the table for you for Buffalo, and we'll see where we are after all things Baltimore this weekend. So since this is the last show before Christmas for us here, we've got to wrap up our Christmas party with three things. Number one, what is your favorite beverage? What are you bringing to the party? Number two, what big snack are you bringing to get you in the door? And number three, the music that we're going to hear. What are you bringing? Is CD? Single hit? What are we doing? We've been doing that over the last couple of days. Some of the suggestions and some of the ideas have frankly been fantastic. So if you haven't had a chance to play part in this one, if you want to get your invitation to our party, well, you know, bring it to the table and let us know what you're bringing along. So having some fun as well here inside the playbook today. That's the big thing. All right? Webradio at Patriots.com, 855-PATS-500. Prediction Thursday. Nobody? No one? Nothing? Really? Everybody thinks the Patriots are going to get beat this week? I somehow find that incredibly surprising. Because no one seems to think, as I just read you in the national media, no one seems to think, outside of one or two, that the Patriots have a shot here. Even your own beloved Teddy Bruschi. Picking against the Patriots this weekend. What say you? 855-PATS-500. Get a break in here. We come back and continue with more Patriots Playbook coming up.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place, Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 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 Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month, guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1/18/14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
Or the toll-free line at 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. Got all these talkers all week long. Now everybody wants to just, you know, I don't know. I don't think the Patriots are going to win. I don't know. I don't know if it's worth our time. I don't know if it's worth the effort. I'm not going to make the effort. Brett on Facebook says, John, I hate to say it, but I think the Patriots season will come down to the Buffalo game. As much as I'd love to see the Patriots pull this out, I believe the score will be Ravens 24, Patriots 10. The Patriots will struggle all afternoon. Patriot defense is not up to the task. I hope for a Patriots win, but I guess I could put that hope in one hand and blank in the other, and we'll see what hand fills up first. Begins
or
with
S. Bill would say, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, then every day would be Christmas.
Christmas, that would be correct. I'm getting the impression, though, that, you know, maybe what I've espoused over the course of the last couple of days has rubbed off on people. I don't know.
Yeah, you're not getting so much static now for your sort of negative kind of outlook on the game.
On Tuesday, I got killed. I got hammered. I even got hammered offline or, you know, when we were off air online, but people were killing me for my negativity. And now
people are sobering up a little bit.
I think either that or they've sobered up and they've realized that, hey, you know what? Maybe he's making some sense here. You know, Fred picked the Patriots. I think we all realize that most of the time he does. Nobody else has picked the
Patriots.
Although
he didn't last week, and he was right, so maybe he'll be right this week.
Well, you know, we can only hope, I suppose, if you're looking at it from that perspective. You know, really, it boils down to, like I said earlier, it just boils down to Baltimore's at home. Baltimore hasn't overwhelmed anybody this year. They've had some, I mean, obviously, the first game of the year, it was hideous. But that was a long time ago. You'd have to give, you know, former Patriots coordinator Dean Pease a lot of credit for replacing, I think it's what, six starters off that Super Bowl champion team last year with younger, lower-priced players this year. And you'd have to give him credit for, looks like it finally is starting to get itself into some kind of playoff shape. They're still pretty good against the run. Especially against the run. Still pretty decent against the pass. All I know is that, you know, it looks like, and you know what? This may be the most impressive part of that entire Baltimore defense is the fact that they're pretty good on third down. And the Patriots are not very good on third down. On either side of the ball, for that matter. And so it just, that's why it's been difficult for me, you know, to try to find that ray of sunshine and to have something to kind of, you know, latch onto. It's been hard, very hard to do. But I'll tell you one way that I really think the Patriots can win this game. And I mentioned, you know, the defense getting a turnover in plus territory. That's one. Number two, no surprises. The Patriots know what they can do. I think even the Ravens know that the Patriots can, what they can do. I don't really think you're going to fool anybody. In other words, you know, passing on an obvious running down or running a passing down or, you know, throwing trickeration in there or whatever. Just be who you are and execute properly. If you can execute properly, then I think you're probably in pretty good shape. And I think that's really kind of where you have to go with this. So don't try to outthink yourself. Don't try to outthink your opponent. Just be who you are. I want to see a steady dose of Stephen Ridley. I want to see, you know, a healthy dose of, you know, spreading the ball around. I want to see some up-tempo, maybe even some no huddle. I want to see Brady putting the ball in receivers' hands, not at their feet and not behind them, which has been the major criticism that I have had of Tom Brady all year. So what I want to see is I want to see the Patriot team, or at least a reasonable faction thereof. I want to see this Patriots team operate a little bit more closely to the team we thought we were going to have before all the injuries came into play. I know we don't have Rob Gronkowski, but you do have Julian Edelman. You do have Danny Amendola. You do have Shane Vereen. Three capable weapons. You got to find a way to spread the ball and get the ball in everybody's hands. I really need to see this team make more of a concerted effort to get Vereen the ball. It wasn't so much that Miami took Vereen out of it last week as that the Patriots just didn't do a good enough job of getting the ball to him. That needs to change this week for this thing to improve. In fact, that must change this week for that to potentially improve. Vereen could easily be a turning point in this game. If he's able to get out on some open field runs, getting the ball, you know, on screen passes or what have you, or maybe even lining him up in the slot somewhere, that's the kind of guy that can make defenses miss. And that's the kind of the weapon that the Patriots need. Not so much bowling over people like Gronk was doing, but you need to have somebody who's got that certain sense of missability out there. And that's where I think you can actually sort of neutralize a hard-charging defense that Baltimore has. And like I said, Baltimore hasn't been that great defensively if you look at the big picture. Lately, they've been playing well enough. They've been fortunate. They've been opportunistic. And it looks like they're finally starting to get it together. and the team begins to sort of gel when they believe in each other and they've got that Super Bowl karma, whatever thing going for them again. That's what they need to do. And if the Patriots can cause them to stop and think for just a moment, then the Patriots will be right there in the ballgame. But it's going to take a little bit of that. So we're not talking about anything fancy. We're not talking about anything, you know, flash and dash. We're not talking about anything that you haven't probably seen before. We're talking about straight out, flat out, executing the plays that you know you're capable of doing. That's really all this is. All it boils down to. Eric has arrived from the locker room.
How you doing, JR?
I'm good. What's happening
today?
Busy
day, weird day today with the schedule being
late time, right?
Off. Yeah, sorry about that.
No worries.
Not a great locker room, but practice-wise, Nate Solder was back out there today, which was a little surprising to me.
You feel like he's going to get cleared, though? That's got to be touch and go,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, it's good news that he's able to go out there, but that's 2 weeks in a row now that he's had to miss a day, and I don't know. I was a little surprised that he was back out there mm-hmm. so soon after his second, or Dang. His aggravation
yeah,
at
right.
least, of the concussion.
Right.
So I'd be a little surprised if he plays Sunday.
Yeah, I think I would be too.
But a guy practices, if he does again tomorrow, that's 2 out of 3 days. Normally a guy that practices 2 out of 3 plays.
He's going to be there.
Normally.
So, yeah.
But, you know, it's no guarantee either.
Right.
So
was everybody back today?
No, Josh Boyce still remains out, though I just saw him peek his head out of the training room,
mm-hmm.
looked around, saw that we were still in there, kind of grinned sheepishly and ducked back in.
Yeah.
Wasn't wearing anything on his left foot, which is what he supposedly hurt on against Miami. Was wearing slippers, basically. So I don't know how, you know, bad his condition is, but he hasn't been able to practice the last 2 days. So
okay.
I would venture to guess he's not going to play against Baltimore. But Aaron Dobson spoke to reporters today.
Which is always a good sign.
Usually an indication that a guy is on his way to being back to game readiness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good news.
Right. One.
Potentially.
Lose one, win one in that regard.
Yeah.
You know, as it boils down, I think we've kind of, you know, surmised that, you know, the Patriots are going to have to figure out a way to turn Baltimore over, going to have to figure out a way to score in the red zone. These are all problems that they've had over the last few weeks
mm-hmm.
when they've been coming from behind. And as Baltimore's gotten on their roll, that's seen them win 4 in a row, they've played more like the team that we saw a year ago, the team that came in here and beat New England in the AFC Championship, even though they've had a kind of a makeover themselves defensively. The X factor in all of this is we don't really know what Joe Flacco's mobility is going to be like, since he took the helmet hit to his knee this last week, and technically it's a sprained MCL. But, you know, they have a reason to believe that, you know, when you've got the home field advantage and you've got a little bit of that karma going and you're feeling better about yourself, and now the Ravens feel like, hey, we can take the division.
Mm.
You know, there's one of two ways to look at it. Either, you know, their momentum is going to go right through the roof, or number two, they look past New England, pointed at Cincinnati because Ooh. They've still got them waiting.
I don't think
there's any way possible that they look past New England.
No, I don't either, John. I really don't. No, I don't see any team looking past any team at this point in the year, especially those teams that are fighting for playoff seeding and positioning. You can't afford to. You really can't. I mean, everything is week to week, just like we talked about yesterday. Last week, we were talking about the Patriots getting the one seed. And look what happened. Now we're talking about 3, 4, 6, nothing.
Nothing, zero.
I mean, these are all, I mean, within 1 week.
The life of the
NFL.
You
can't look past that. You can't look past any opponent. I will say, though, this is Prediction Thursday, that mm-hmm. I'm not feeling great about their chances. I'm not going to be stunned if they win at all. I think that any team can beat any team in this league more so than ever. This year, I think, has been has demonstrated that they're really the difference between good and bad teams is so minuscule. And even among so-called contenders, it's minimal. It really is. Everyone's hurt. Teams are playing badly. Even the good teams, for the most part. I mean, I really think Seattle has put it together the best of any team all year.
And yet you can make the argument that maybe even they haven't been challenged to their fullest.
Yeah. And they've won a lot of games that they shouldn't have.
Sure.
You know, been down by double digits
sure.
and come back. So
I do expect that if they are able to win the NFC and they get to the Super Bowl and, you know.
Expect them to win it?
No, but I expect that, you know, if there is bad weather, I expect that to bring everybody down to earth and level the playing field.
Sure. Yeah, Mother Nature is the great equalizer in this.
Always has been. Always has been.
You know.
Kat in Chicago is joining us.
Oh, hey.
Hello, Kat.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, how are you?
Hey, see, what did we tell you, Kat? No problem with that Cleveland game.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that was something else. Just sitting there, I mean, let me tell you, too. I know people always criticize the Pats fans for being quiet and it being a quiet stadium. That stadium was not quiet that day, and at least not in my section. It was pretty loud. We had a good time.
Yeah, well, but that was just you and your husband.
Well, there was a guy. It's funny. We had a guy in front of us with a defense, you know, the D in the fence.
Yeah.
And there was a guy a couple rows. Actually, I think he was in our row, but he was maybe 10 seats to the side. And he kept getting up and yelling at the guy, "Get that fence up! Get that fence up!" He had the whole section going. Oh, it was really funny.
Well, you know, sometimes the fans surprise you. I was surprised that maybe the guy wouldn't say, "Hey, sit the bleep down!" You know.
Oh,
but,
yeah, no. They were we were right behind the Patriots bench, so mm-hmm. I would hope that the people in that section would be really into it and loud. And
sounds like they were. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's good. So what do you think about this?
She was heckling me, Rook.
What?
She was heckling me.
Were you heckling Kevin?
Why, you deserved it.
I tried not to. No, all I said was that he looked very cold.
And the answer to that would have been, yes, he was very cold. But it's just Kevin.
I was, too. I managed to bring my, I got some of those little hand warmers that I brought with me, and those things saved me, let me tell you.
Yeah, those do come in handy. They definitely do. All right, what do you think about this weekend?
I think they're going to win. I'm holding out hope. I mean, like I said, I'm one of the people who was sitting in the stands going, the field goal is not going to make it, it's not going to make it on those Browns game. And you know, I don't know, I'm an optimist when it comes to them. I think Belichick is too good of a coach, and I don't think the Ravens are. I know they're on a four-game streak, but there's a lot of holes in that team, too. And any team that has to gut it out against the Vikings in the last, you know, minute and a half of the game, I don't think is such a superior force. You know, I don't rank them as a really high opponent. So I don't know. I think we have a fair shot of this. It's just going to depend on play calling. I agree with you about McDaniels. I don't like his play calling a lot. I think we need to run it and
stop the run.
If you can run the ball and then stop them and keep them from running and force, you know, Joe Flacco into obvious passing situations, I think you're in pretty good shape in theory.
Well,
you still got to defend against their receivers, which, you know, are somewhat questionable, because I actually think that they're in good shape with Jacoby Jones and Torrey Smith. But I like the fact that you're making them more one-dimensional, and so you see where the targets and the bullets are coming from.
Yeah. I think two special teams, kickoff and punt returns, I mean, Jacoby Jones is a factor.
Mm-hmm.
He is fast, and he knows what he's doing, so I'll look forward to seeing Slater out there, hopefully covering him and stopping some of those. But, correct me if I'm wrong. I know that at the beginning of the year, at least, they were having a lot of problems with their offensive line and running. So they haven't had a great run game this year.
They have not. So they've definitely had problems in their offensive line.
Right. So I think that works in our favor, since our run defense has been struggling a little bit. Maybe, you know, the two of those things equal out a little bit, and you know, they're not one of those teams who, hopefully, knock on wood, are going to really gash us big time in the running game.
Right.
That's my hope.
Okay. Give us a score.
Oh, I think we'll win by either 3 or 6. I don't think we'll win by a touchdown, so I'm going to say it's going to be like 21-27 Patriots.
What's the spread in this game?
2.5
for Baltimore.
Really?
Baltimore.
Yeah.
Two and a half.
I think we'll win by more than that, but
okay. Which is basically home field advantage.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is. 27-21. So you think the Ravens will actually score 27?
No. I think the Patriots. I mean 27-21.
27-21. Patriots. Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, that's what I think. So.
Okay. Well, Kat, you know that, you know, regardless of what you bring, you're invited to our Patriots.com radio Christmas party. But just so we know what's coming so we can plan the menu, what are you bringing?
I'm going to bring, for a drink, I'm going to bring hot buttered rum.
Ooh,
you ever had that?
Yes. That's
it's
delicious.
Good.
Hot buttered rum?
Yep.
It's kind of like eggnog, only no dairy. And it's kind of a little bit butterscotchy or mm-hmm. you know, caramelly, but it's got those spices in it, like, you know, the nutmeg and stuff. It's mm-hmm. really good.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm still saving my
gift. Your beer?
Yeah, for the holidays.
Enjoy it. Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
the popcorn, the Cracker Jack stuff is gone, though.
That lasted about 2 seconds.
Yeah. That stuff, once you start eating it,
yeah.
There's no, you don't
yeah,
have to.
Yeah, you can't stop, no. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, yeah, the whole potato chip thing, right. Okay, so that's the drink. What's the snack?
For the snack, my family always makes creme de menthe brownies. It's like a brownie.
Wow, that sounds good.
With a layer of creme de menthe
frosting.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And then semi-sweet chocolate on top, and they're really good.
Wow.
Well, I know what you better be bringing for next year's visit when you come to Foxborough.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, if my kitchen was in working order, I would have baked them and brought them, but unfortunately.
Yeah, all torn up.
We're not quite there yet.
Right. How about the choice of music, then?
The Dan Band.
Oh, wow. Wow, curse and Christmas songs. Hey, you got to love it.
Tell Kevin if you guys have never heard Rock You Hard This Christmas,
uh-huh.
you should find that for the end of the show, because...
You got it, Kevin?
It's a great one.
Okay.
He's on
he's nodding. He's going to look it up.
He's on it.
Yeah. He may have to only take the first verse or two, because I think it may get explicit towards the end.
Uh-huh. Well, he still has time to edit.
He can edit.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a great song.
All right.
Kat, hope you and your husband have a wonderful holiday.
Oh, thank you. You too. And everybody stay safe, and
mm-hmm.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays to Patriots Nation.
Thanks, Kat.
Same to you.
Okay, thanks.
You bet. Kat in Chicago, the one and only. All right, Big E, give us your prediction.
As I said before, I don't think they're going to go down there and win. I'd like them to, obviously, but I don't think it's going to happen. I was concerned about that, as we talked about, you know, before the Miami game. I said, you know, if they lose the Miami game, I think they're in serious jeopardy of losing two straight,
mm-hmm.
at least.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to happen this week, that two straight in December. That's a rarity with this club under this coach. But I'm going to say 19-16.
Baltimore?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ugly, low-scoring game. Gross.
Okay. One of those rock fights.
Hope I'm wrong.
That's the kind of game, though, frankly, I think that they probably need to make it.
I hope I'm wrong.
They need to make it a rock fight.
I want
fight.
To see some good football. I'm
have
tired
a chance
of seeing
to
crappy
win.
Football.
Yeah, well, I think we'd all like to see that. But I think you're right. I think that's just the way that's the nature of the game at this time of year, especially when you have imperfect teams on both sides and weather playing a factor. All right, as far as, you know, my thoughts are concerned, first of all, I was reminded yesterday by Miss Robin that I have not yet given my, you know, party things.
You haven't. Well, you're the host, though.
I'm hosting the party, but I still have to bring to the party.
But you have to know what your guests are bringing first,
right? Well, now I have a pretty good idea.
All right.
So as far as the drink is concerned, along the lines of what Kat's bringing, seems like we've had some, you know, rum, and we've had some eggnog and things like that. What I was going to do is I was going to bring actually spiked pumpkin eggnog. But then Robin reminded me of my absolute love for pumpkin beer. So I think I'm going to go with the pumpkin beer, since nobody has said yet that they're going to bring that.
Yeah.
There are two flavors that I really enjoy. Blue Moon makes one,
mm-hmm.
and Shipyard makes the other.
I think I've had the Blue Moon one.
They're both excellent pumpkin
Shipyard
beers.
Shipyard pumpkin's amazing.
The Shipyard pumpkin is really good, but the way that you got to do it, gang, is you take a regular beer glass, you know, like a pint glass,
mm-hmm.
and you lubricate the top rim, and you turn it over and put it in a rim of sugar and cinnamon.
Sugar and cinnamon.
And you drink that pumpkin beer through the sugar and cinnamon rim, like you would drink salt through a margarita,
right?
And it is the most fantastic thing you've ever put in your
lips.
It is unbelievable. So that's what I'm bringing.
Okay.
I'm bringing the pumpkin beer with the sugar and cinnamon rims. That's definitely on the agenda. As far as the snack, I'm old school. I make a real spicy guacamole dip, so it's my homemade dip. So I'm doing that.
Okay.
Chips and guacamole for everybody. Music. Well, I was actually going to bring along, until I got severely castigated for this again by Robin, but I was going to bring along Greatest Hits from the Longhorn Band.
And that noise you heard was all of John's guests taking their stuff and walking
out
the door.
Walking right the hell out the door.
They were giving you two fingers, but it wasn't the hook 'em horns, John.
No, it was the double number one salute. I get it. No, I think because
two turtle doves.
That's it.
Yeah,
I think because I've gone to see him in concert a few times, and he does a really good job. Mm. I think I'd bring along some Harry Connick Jr.
Classic,
yeah.
Okay,
some classic stuff. I think he's an excellent.
He has a
entertainer.
Christmas album too.
He has a Christmas album. It's actually pretty good music.
Yeah,
it's nice
it
to
is.
Kind of just you
it's
know
mellow.
It's mellow.
Yeah.
The fire's going. You're sucking down. You know, some alcohol. It's
mm-hmm.
it's you know it's good stuff. It's good mood stuff.
Yes.
So I think that's probably what I'd bring along.
Okay, good.
Does that work?
Yeah, works for me.
Am I invited to my own party now?
You better be. Yeah. You're...
I'm holding it.
Yeah.
Right? All right. As far as the prediction of the game is concerned. I think I've got to go with my original premise. Like you, I think this is going to be a very difficult game. It probably won't be aesthetically pleasing at all. I'm leaning right now towards basically Justin Tucker outkicking Steven Gostkowski 3-2. So that doesn't mean it's going to be 9-6. Yeah, I know. We've got, you know, some kind of drilling going on over our head here that I hope that's not going out over the air, but wow, it's loud in here. Is that going out on the air?
Probably. I didn't hear it. But
oh, my goodness. Somebody is absolutely riveting drilling right outside the door here.
During this break, I'll go.
Yeah, it's our conversation that should be riveting.
Of course. Thank you very much. But it's not going to be a 9-6 game. I think both teams will manage to get into the end zone at least once or twice.
Yeah.
So right now, I'm going to say Baltimore 23, New England 20. This game is going to be decided on a kick. One way or the other. Either a made one or a missed one, but it's going to be decided on a kick.
What's your updated record against the...
I'm 11-3 against the spread.
In
New England games. So I'm 11-3, you know, against the spread in Patriot games.
Yeah.
The spread is 2.5 for Baltimore, and I've got Baltimore winning by 3.
Barely.
So I've got Baltimore barely covering.
Me too, so...
Barely covering. That's how I kind of look at it. So if the Patriots make it a one-point game, well, you know... You know, I would lose the bet. I think the Baltimore will probably win by 3. If the Patriots somehow squeak out the game, I'll be very glad to be 11-4 next week. Because that means then the AFC East will be won. Potential for a bye in the opening round will also still be very much there, as long as you don't stumble against Buffalo, and we can be talking about that this time next week. I just don't know that we're going to get to that point.
Yeah.
That's my thought process. All right?
Yeah.
All right, brother. Thank you for everything.
Are you going to be here Tuesday?
No, I will not be here apart for your podcast on Tuesday, because I know you guys are taping that early.
Yes, okay.
So you're taping that early on Tuesday.
But Thursday
I will be here.
And possibly...
Accompanied by someone? Yes. Yes.
Good to hear.
Yes.
Did you thank her for my cookies,
by
the way?
Yes.
All right.
No, she heard you say it on the air.
I know, but I still...
She heard you say it on the air.
All right.
Yep. We may have a special studio guest. So.
Yes.
See? There you go.
All right.
You'll find the method behind my madness.
So. Yeah.
I am a blessed person. That's all I'm going to say.
Good night.
I am a blessed person. So, happy holidays.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much. You
right.
too, my friend.
All right. Very good. All right. We're going to take a timeout, then we're going to bring in the one and only guru, Russell S. Baxter. Plus, we get to your predictions. Keep the cards and letters coming now. Webradio@patriots.com. Your book's still on the line. Whether you think the Patriots will win or not, we need a prediction of a score, accurate score. So bring it here in the playbook.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's time to go around the NFL with football guru Russell Baxter on Patriots Playbook.
And in hour number two, Patriots Playbook on Prediction Thursday, the one and only pro football guru himself, Russell S. Baxter, joins us here in the Playbook. Happy holidays, Russell.
Hello, John. How are you? I have a request to make, and I think this request comes from Kevin, for Kevin and not for you.
Okay.
All right. I love the opening.
You do like the opening. Nice.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
It's very, very nice.
Okay.
But I was watching the movie Up with my daughter, Helen.
Okay.
Last week. And I never saw the movie. It's adorable. Very touching.
Mm-hmm.
Nice story.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the central characters is this little Boy Scout that comes to the house of the elderly gentleman who puts his house up in the air with about 40,000 balloons.
You're right, right.
And he knocks on the door and he says, "Hello. My name is Russell," and he says it about, he has to repeat himself like six times. So I can only imagine that probably is what I sound like, just repeating myself six times.
Well, we need to see if we can find that clip, and we'll add that to a new Russell Baxter open for you.
My daughter just looked at me, and I looked at her, and I was like, oh, really? Okay.
So. Hi, my name is Russell.
Hello, my name, and he has to read it off a card. That's the funniest thing.
Hello, my name is Russell. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hello, Russell. How are you?
Yes. I'll find out if Kevin is up to it.
No, we're going to find out. We're going to find out very quickly. I think he's actually doing a mad dash through the auspices of the internet to see what he can't find and legally.
A mad dash to Chicago.
Oh, no, not yet. But he's also got to make sure he can legally use these things. So, you know, we don't want to no copyright infringement here, right?
Oh, yes, that's very true. I just realized that.
Well, we take the good, we give back the not so good. There's no Thursday night football tonight, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But the other thing is, on Sunday, it seems like every game is touched by some kind of a playoff atmosphere, with just a very, very few exceptions, which I think is a wonderful thing about football at this time of year.
Yeah, we have one team that's won a division title, and that would be the Indianapolis Colts, almost by default, in some ways, because everybody else in the division keeps losing. The other teams are what combined of 11 wins, and they have 9. The whole division has 20 wins. That's 2 less than the Niners and the Seahawks have combined. So it's been obviously down here, and the Colts are so up and down. But yet they and the Chiefs were probably the teams, and the Ravens were the teams that benefited most from the, all right, you, I don't want it, you can have it. You know, that's too rich for me. when it came to the Broncos and the Patriots and the Bengals last week.
Right, right. Okay. Well, let's then start it off with the Dolphins and the Bills, even though I know that, you know, Buffalo is obviously next week's opponent for the Patriots, and that game may end up meaning, you know, the difference between the Patriots getting into the playoffs and missing the playoffs altogether if they don't beat Baltimore on Sunday. And Miami is certainly going to root for the now become a huge New England fan because Baltimore standing in their way to the postseason as well. So I ask you, how much of a chance do you think, I mean, first of all, does Miami take care of business on the road, number one. Number two, how much of a distraction is their scoreboard watching going to be to perhaps them trying to, you know, keep their situation in front of them?
Well, you know, if you go by pure matchups, this seems like a bad one for Miami. And let's not forget the Buffalo Bills went into Miami earlier this year and beat the Dolphins on the road.
Correct,
so,
correct.
Buffalo has a chance for a sweep here, but I think a lot of people probably know that no team in the league has given up more sacks than the Miami Dolphins, even with the recent resurgence of the offensive line, you know, which you wonder how that happened, and them pass blocking better and run blocking better and so on. But I'm willing to bet a lot of people don't know that the Buffalo Bills lead the NFL with 49 sacks. I think that would surprise people to hear that, led by Mario Williams and so on. That's not a great run defense. It hasn't been for about 5 or 6 years, but they've at least found a way to get to the quarterback this season.
Yep, yep. They've been pretty consistent with that. Can they get to Ryan Tannehill enough, though, to keep Miami from getting into the end zone? That's the ultimate question here.
Yeah, that's very true. And Miami has been very, very resourceful and, you know, very good on the road. Remember, they won those back-to-back road games against the Jets and the Steelers before coming home and beat the Pats last week.
Sure.
You know, Miami seems like they're playing with a lot more confidence, and so does their quarterback. You know, they had a little ace in the hole with this tight end, Charles Clay, who's made, you know, he doesn't have eye-popping numbers, but he makes some eye-popping plays. And, you know, the drives they had last week were very, very impressive. Their defense played well when it had to last week. But I still think this is a tall order, and of course the Bills are changing quarterbacks this week. Well, they'll have Thad Lewis instead of E.J. Manuel, so the beat kind of goes on for the Bills, who are trying to avoid, I believe, their sixth straight basement finish in the AFC East. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
The 90s, boy, did the 90s disappear in a hurry.
Sure did.
For that franchise. I'm going to say Miami takes care of business this week.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning that way myself. Stay in the AFC for the time being. A team I think that also that probably will have some divided attention would be Baltimore because they've got to feel like they've got a chance now at the division title. Because they still have Cincinnati left on the schedule next week. The Bengals are at home against the Minnesota Vikings. Now, I wouldn't normally include this because the Bengals are undefeated at home. The Vikings have not won on the road this year. But just because of the struggle that Baltimore had with the Vikings a couple of weeks ago, I wonder if the Vikings have a puncher's chance here with the Bengals reeling a bit.
Well, I don't think there's any question about it. Minnesota is kind of, I don't want to say they played with house money, but they've played a lot more relaxed than they did early in the season. The problem with the Vikings, though, Don, if you go back to the next to the last game of the regular season last year and include their playoff loss to the Packers, the Minnesota Vikings have given up at least 20 points in a game, 16 consecutive games. Even last week in blowing out the Eagles, they blew out 48-10. They blew them out 48-30. So, you know, they give ground. And Cincinnati, which... So you look at that score against Pittsburgh last week, and you see 30-20. You think, oh, the Bengals' defense was terrible. Well, when you have a snap from the long snapper go about 2 feet left for the punter, and that winds up in a point-blank punt touchdown for the Steelers, then you get like a 40-yard. This was interesting last week. On the ensuing kickoff, the Steelers kicked off, and the returner waited for a fair catch.
Yeah, I remember
that. He ran the ball for about 45 yards almost to midfield. Well, that wiped out that.
Yep, I remember that.
Two special team gaps.
Yep.
And then, of course, Antonio Brown, enhanced by that block, you know, that block on the punter that wound up resulting in a big fine for the high hit. Antonio Brown returns a punt for a touchdown. The Bengals are down 21-0, and their defense basically is barely on the field.
Right.
So sometimes you get a little fooled by that. Cincinnati and Baltimore are the best of the defensive teams in the AFC as far as the playoff contenders. And I just think Cincinnati, they have a chance in the next 2 weeks to do something they've never done. And that's getting the playoffs for a third consecutive year, and I believe they'll get that done.
Yeah, I kind of lean that way as well, but interesting to note that you know, they're not all the way there yet. The Colts and the Chiefs, for two teams with the records that they have, Indy's 9-5, as you said, they've already clinched the division. The Chiefs are 11-3. They look like they're locked into the five spot, but because Denver slipped last week, they're technically tied record-wise. If somehow Denver loses one of the last two and the Chiefs can win, then it's the Chiefs looking at the division title. So even though these two teams are kind of locked in, there's still some chance for some movement.
We're going to talk about this, you know, later in the NFC. But think about if you're the Denver Broncos and the New Orleans Saints and you have spent most of the season either being the one in one conference or the two in the other conference, and with 2 weeks left, there's a better than average chance that you could be the five. I just find that incredibly intriguing. But it shows you the beauty of the league.
Mm-hmm.
But Indy and Kansas City, you want to talk about parallel franchises, John? Remember, in 2011, without Peyton Manning and a whole bunch of other people, by the way, the Colts won two games. A year ago, they won 11 games, so plus nine, which is one short of the NFL record for, you know, most improvement in one season in terms of wins.
Right.
So I guess, you know, my goodness, that's got to be a hard thing to do. I mean, we had to wait a whole another year for someone to do it. Mm-hmm. The Kansas City Chiefs were 2-14 last year. And now they're 11-3. They won nine more games than they did a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, Houston Texans, hello. You know, hold out hope. By the way, if Kansas City runs the table, they'll have won 11 more games than they did the year before. That would be the first time that's ever happened in NFL history.
Which is kind of a story to root for, to be honest with you. I have to admit.
Well, very conceivably happened. I mean, if you want to talk about a turnaround, last year the Kansas City Chiefs scored 211 points, John, the fewest in the league.
Right.
They scored 18 total touchdowns, 17 on offense and a return. In the last 2 weeks alone, the Kansas City Chiefs have scored 101 points and 14 total touchdowns.
In 2 weeks.
And guess who's third in the league in scoring behind the Denver Broncos and the Chicago Bears? Kansas City Chiefs at 399 points. It is not out of the question that they could very easily double their point total in 1 year.
That's quite the turnaround. And it could also technically be a preview of Wild Card Weekend. It's, you know, technically it's possible, as we are probably aware. Okay, then moving elsewhere down on the calendar, there are several games on the NFC side that at least have teams involved that are still in the playoff hunt. Like, for instance, there's a traditional game in Washington, the Cowboys at the Redskins. Cowboys need to win to keep alive maybe the possibility that they could be playing for something in the last week against Philadelphia. You know, I don't even know what to make out of the Dallas Cowboys, I'll be quite honest with you. As a long-standing, as you know, Dallas Cowboy fan, long-time Dallas Cowboy fan, I just kind of stopped trying to figure them out a few years ago. And this year, I have never, ever have I once thought differently than that, because I can't figure out Tony Romo. I think the Cowboys' defense may be as bad as I've seen it, in, at least in recent memory. And I don't even know if winning on the road this week will keep them from the inevitable, because I don't know that they beat Philadelphia. But then again, I've also know that in this game anything can happen. So why should we give any credit to the Dallas Cowboys in this particular instance?
Well, listen, if Tony Romo isn't up to snuff on Sunday, they can always put Jason Garrett in the game, because, I mean, at least in my opinion, his throw under the bus of Tony Romo was more impressive than any of Tony Romo's. I mean, come on. I thought that was terrible to hear that.
Yeah.
And here's why I'll say it was terrible, because I'll just give you a little simple math. You're up 26-3 in the first half, and you have to run the ball seven times in the entire second half. So I'm going to give Coach Garrett the benefit of the doubt, John, and say that Tony did indeed audible out of a run play into a pass play, okay?
Yeah,
that
I got you.
He would have ran the ball eight times in the second half.
Yeah, yeah.
Won a 26-3 lead. I mean, come on. I mean, we saw this 2 years ago, up 27-3 on the Detroit Lions. But let's just keep throwing the ball. And there's one pick six, and there's two pick six, and then all of a sudden the momentum changes and they lose at home to the Detroit Lions, 34-30. Okay? So we've seen this script before. Which is funny, when Jason Garrett took over as the interim head coach the second half of 2010, and I know he didn't have Tony Romo, John, but look at the run-pass balance that that team had the second half of 2010. If you ask me what the Dallas Cowboys' philosophy on offense has been for the last 3 years, I would say perplexing.
To say the least. To say the least.
And listen, they know they have a poor defense. So how about helping out your defense and keeping it on the field? It wasn't like DeMarco Murray wasn't having success running the ball. How can you be ahead 23 at the half, and then when it's all said and done, the other team outrushes you by 16 yards and 9 carries?
And he's checking out of most of those, too, which we kind of learned this week. And I'm kind of like, you got to be kidding me. What are you thinking? Well, and the problem is that he's not.
The deal is, I mean, they gave the play-calling duties to Bill Callahan. I mean, it's... For an offensive-minded team, and you're right. But you know what's very perplexing about this matchup this week? First of all, let's not forget Dallas hasn't lost a game in the division all year. They're 4-0. Meanwhile, while the Dallas Cowboys have given up the most yards in the league and look absolutely horrendous on defense, it's actually the Washington Redskins that have given up the most points in the league.
Yeah.
434.
Yeah.
In 14 games. I think that's exactly 31 a game.
Which is why the Cowboys will probably win on Sunday. Here's a couple of great ones, but first one, Saints at the Panthers. Division title potential right here on the line with both teams 10-4. I guess Carolina slightly maybe here only because of home field advantage, but do I sense that maybe there just might be a crack in the armor somewhere with Carolina?
Well, defensively have not been, you know, as up to snuff the last two games that they've been all year. Although I will say they did take care of business against the Jets, something the Saints failed to do at St. Louis. And I understand where, you know, Drew Brees a little edgy, Saints a little edgy, maybe a little defensive, no pun intended, about their 3-4 road record. I mean, they've gone on the road and had some issues, and Drew Brees had 3 turnovers in that game the other day. They struggled to get into the end zone. I know the Rams are beating the Bears, the Colts, and the Saints this year, and yet they sit at 6-8. Okay, that's a very perplexing football team. I don't rule out the Saints winning here at all because of the way they were able to frustrate the Carolina defense. And Carolina's offense isn't explosive. But if Carolina's going to win, and I'm going to give them a slight edge, I think you need to see something like 35 carries out of their running game this week.
Interesting. I would talk about the Broncos and the Texans, but frankly, I don't think there's any point. Is there any point?
Well, I'll just remind people that the Broncos need 54 points to tie the Patriots record of 589.
They could get that this week.
And Peyton Manning needs 3 touchdowns to tie Brady's record.
He could get that this week easily.
As they say in the business, that is all, John.
Yeah, I know. How about the Cardinals at the Seahawks? Now, everybody seems ready to anoint Seattle as the team at 12-2 because they have the de facto best record overall in the NFL right now. The Cardinals certainly are the hot team, and certainly can be an argument can be made for them being the hot team in the NFC, even though they might be on the outside looking in here. Is this a statement game for the Cardinals, even if they can't get into the tournament?
I don't know if it's necessarily a statement game. And listen, they remember what happened to them last year. They went up to Seattle and got 58-0.
Yeah, right.
This is part of that Seahawks 14-game winning streak. Listen, Seattle has won as many games on the road as they have at home this year. They're 6-2 on the road for people who think they can't play on the road, and 6-0 at home. They've given up the fewest points in the league. I think Arizona wins this game. I really do.
Wow.
I just have this sense that they have not come as far as they have to be 9-5, and I think everybody just expect them to be 9-7 and lose to the Seahawks and the Niners the final week of the season. I think Arizona is going to go into this game next week with a chance to get into the playoffs, and don't rule out them. I know Andy Reid is probably the front runner for coach of the year, but Bruce Arians, my goodness, to lead the Colts and do what he did in an semi-interim basis, and then turn around and come to the Cardinals, and you know it's their first winning season since 2009. They are a legitimately solid football team. It's not like they don't have problems, but Carson Palmer has had a great 5-6 game stretch here. Their only loss, I think, in the last month or so has been to Philadelphia in Philadelphia. I don't know why I feel it, but I kind of understand what you're saying about just anointing Seattle. And it's this is nothing personal against Seattle, but it's very personal in terms of I like what's going on in Arizona. I think Arizona upsets the Seahawks this week.
All right. That's a good choice, actually, because I was kind of leaning that direction myself. Even though I just kind of like play with this. I don't really, you know, take it seriously, of course. The Sunday night game, the one that the Patriots got flexed out of, and the Bears and the Eagles got flexed into for the primetime game. By the way, nobody around here is upset with that at all. I might, you know, want you to, you probably can figure out why. But Chicago and Philadelphia, both right there in the mix, both teams needing to win. I think the NFL did the right thing by, even though I think we all realize that, you know, Baltimore, New England, you know, it could very well be a great game too, but this one seems to have just as much on the line, if not a little bit more.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Philadelphia scored 30 points last week and lost by 18.
Yeah, how about that?
The Bears scored 38 and only won by 7.
Yep.
You know, and that's kind of the state of where we are, really, John, around defense around the entire league. You look at the NFC East alone, it's not inconceivable that all four teams in the division could give up 400 points this year.
That's amazing.
I mean, without even looking, I'm positive that's never happened. Okay, it's Philadelphia, you never know. I mean, Philadelphia gives up, what, 26 the next 2 weeks, and I think they're at 349.
What have we done to defense in the NFL?
We gave it a bye week for 2013.
Oh, Lord of mercy.
I mean, look what we've seen the last 2 weeks, John, the most touchdowns in one weekend and then the most points in one weekend. I don't know if we don't know how to tackle or we don't practice tackling or we're afraid to tackle because of the ramifications. But, you know, there have been 194 100-yard receiving performances this season.
That's phenomenal.
That is already the most in NFL history in one season with 2 weeks to go.
Yep.
It broke the record the last 2 years of 192.
Yep.
We could get another record for 300-yard passing games by individuals this year as well. But back to this game. LeSean McCoy leads the league in rushing. And in a 32-team league, I'd like to say the Bears are about 35th against the run. That's how bad they've been. They're giving up like close to 200 yards a game on the ground the last 8 games. That being said, I don't know who in Philadelphia's secondary, and I mean this sincerely, can cover either Brandon Marshall or Alshon Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think Philadelphia wins and keeps a game ahead of the Cowboys. And this NFC North race, the final week of the season, depending on what Green Bay does against Pittsburgh at Lambeau Field. You know, we have Green Bay and Chicago. We have so many divisions that theoretically could come down to a winner-take-all in Week 17.
Sure can. Packers win. They're 8-6-1. The Bears lose. They're 8-7. You're going, and if Detroit wins, they're 8-7. So, I mean, it's going to come right down to the last week. It's no question. It could very well come right down to the last week for the Patriots, too, if they lose to Baltimore Sunday afternoon, because if they lose, and, you know, then the Patriots are going to have to beat Buffalo to just get into the playoffs, much less win the division, which is almost shocking to think. A week ago, and Eric and I have been going back and forth about this all week long. A week ago, we're talking about the possibility of having the number one seed in the AFC, and this week, we've been talking about missing the playoffs altogether. What's wrong with this picture?
I don't know. It's so wild. And you know what's funny is, or not funny, depending on your perspective, the three active leading playoff streaks in the NFL, in terms of season, belong to the Baltimore Ravens, 5 in a row, and both the Packers and the Patriots are tied at 4 in a row. It's not inconceivable that all three could miss.
Which would be like almost Armageddon in the NFL. But then again, they'd be cheering, I think, on Park Avenue in New York, too, because, you know, that's what they want. They like parity in this league.
Well, I mean, it, they get it whether they like it or not. And that parity also comes from the way, you know, we get ready for football now, too, which is a story for a whole different day. And so on. But, I mean, you watch the games now, and it's, you know, the only thing it's missing is the big metal ball and the big machine you know, pulling the plunger. I mean, they are pinball games.
Mm-hmm.
When you have 5 teams in one weekend score 30 points and lose, that should tell you something about the defense that's being played in the league.
Well, I think defense will probably end up being the decisive factor in this one, at least on Sunday in Baltimore. And Baltimore's playing the better part of it right now after a really tough start to their season, but they're looking more like a team that, you know, lost six Super Bowl starters a year from last year's team. They're on the, you know, they've got the ball rolling. They won four in a row. You can make a statement that they're, you know, hottest team perhaps in the AFC at any rate. I just think it's going to be very, very difficult for the Patriots to figure out a way to crack that veneer.
I do, too, but you know what's funny is you go back and look at Baltimore the last four games during this winning streak, which, you know, they do have the longest winning streak in the AFC. Them and the Niners have the longest winning streaks in the league with four in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the twix and the tween. We know the Patriots have given up at least 24 points in six straight games and eight of their last nine games, which is, you know, puts so much pressure, obviously, on their offense to perform. But Baltimore is, you know, you look at what they've done the last 4 weeks. Now, they beat the Jets by kicking four field goals and scoring one touchdown. They beat the Steelers by scoring one touchdown and kicking five field goals. And now, Monday night, they couldn't even score a touchdown and kick six field goals.
Mm-hmm.
So, over this stretch, I want to say that the Ravens have scored something like five touchdowns and kicked 15 field goals. I think their opponents have scored more touchdowns than they have. I want to see if that holds up again against New England this week, which, you know, can play pretty good, decisive or pretty good red zone defense, at least in my opinion. They give up a lot of yards, I know that, and we've been talking about the point. But I don't think Baltimore's playing nearly as well as everybody thinks they are. I think they're playing well, and I think they're playing resourceful. But when I think of resourceful, I think of the Patriots, and I actually think New England wins this game in Baltimore Sunday night.
Wow. You may be one of the few, Russell, because it's been a doggy downer around here this week.
Well, listen, if the Cardinals beat Seattle and New England wins, well, it probably means nothing. I mean,
Well, it doesn't mean a damn thing.
Well, you're quite lucky.
Yeah.
Well, you know me, you know, I send out my ads on Facebook, you know, for, you know, to follow Pro Football Guru. If you're not following Pro Football Guru, well, what's the big deal? 8 billion people aren't either. You know?
That's exactly right. Well, listen, my friend, I hope that you have a wonderful holiday. I'm sure that you will with your family. And are you available next Thursday?
Absolutely.
Okay.
By that time, I'll be done. Well, either unwrapping my gifts or putting together a bike. I haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, well, if you're anything like me, you'll still be putting together the bike, so. Trust me
Merry
on that
Christmas.
One.
Merry Christmas, Kevin, as well.
Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Merry Christmas to you and your family, and I look forward to next Thursday for usual.
And we'll definitely get together then, Russell. All the best to you. Happy holidays.
You too.
All right, Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, Bleacher Report, Yahoo, Cold Hard Football Facts. There we go. Got them all in there. All right, let's get another break in here, Kev, and then we turn it back over to our wonderful listeners, our faithful fans, with all of their predictions. Step up. Now's the time. Webradio at Patriots.com. I got a ton I got to get to, but if you haven't brought it into the table, now's the time to do it. 855-PATS-500. It's a free call. It's our Christmas gift to you. Pick up the phone. Here we go.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play Online for just $79.99 a month, guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by Metabank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1-18-14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
All right, here we go. How do you feel about it? Pats, Ravens, this might be it. They need to win. You know they need to win. If they don't, then it really is back against the wall time against Buffalo at a time when this Patriots team just flat out doesn't need to have their backs in the wall. They need to help themselves out. They need to give themselves some breathing room. They need to perform to optimal capability. Question is, can they? Here's our good friend Olivier in Virginia. Hello, Olivier, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm good.
Excellent. First of all, I'd like to say that your show on Tuesday was not very, I wouldn't say that it was that nitpicky. You were just relating the harsh reality of what we experienced on Sunday. So I'm not really sure that Patriots Nation should be too angry with you. I think we are all soul searching and we're all frustrated with the situation, what we've done on Sunday. I think we played well. It's just that when it was time to, you know, to concretize this game and to execute, we could not run the ball. And yeah. I've been saying this to the PFW guys in progress. I say, what is Josh doing? I mean, what is he trying to do? Like paint a beautiful Michelangelo fresco on the Sistine Chapel with a nice little paintbrush and so forth instead of running the ball in the end zone when you're on the first or the 50-yard line? It makes no sense to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I understand, you know, that there probably is some sort of, you know, lack of a better phrase here, come to Jesus meeting for a lot of Patriots fans this week because this is who they are.
I think we need a religion chance to come to Jesus meeting.
Maybe. may very well be. But you're right. You've only exacerbated the problem by really some questionable play calls that if they had gone the other way, we might not be having some of these conversations. Then again, we might be. That's the great mystery to it all, which is why you tend to try to, you know, do what you think you know you do best. And I just get the impression overall that we're trying to outsmart ourselves. And, you know, the idea here is to outsmart the other guy, not yourself. And I think that's all they've accomplished.
Sometimes the fact that we are close to Harvard and MIT can be a detriment to us if I just outsmart ourselves.
We all pale in comparison to Harvard and MIT around here.
Yes. So I think that, you know, I think Eric mentioned that, and I agree with him, that, and I think he said the same thing. We are in playoff mode, so maybe this is good for us.
Yeah.
That now we have no choice, I mean, no room for error. And if we do, I think that it's going to be, you know, very difficult. And then you really wonder if we may have a chance to actually do something in the playoffs, but, you know, limping like we are doing in the regular season, it's going to be difficult. So, you know, how do we win? The question is, how do we win, you know, this game? And I know we've been nitpicking, we've been using a scalpel to analyze and to dissect, you know, our own team, but what about the Ravens? You know, I don't know if they are that better than we are. I mean, their records doesn't show that they are better than we are. So,
right. You
know, they have obviously some serious issues, and I don't think that we should take the game that they won against the Lions as being the panacea to define who they are as a team.
Well, you're closer to that area than we are. What's the scuttlebutt been this week?
I'm not that close I'm closer. I'm in Virginia, and I live in an area called Lansdowne, which is about 2-3 miles away from the Ashburn training camp, the Redskins. So I'm closer to the Redskin I would say, team from a location than I am the Ravens. I'm about an hour and a half away from Baltimore. So I'm not really hearing anything. And to be frank with you, the only thing that I listen to is you, PFW, and whatever is on Patriots Nation. So I can't really, I'm not a good source of information. I'm very biased.
Well, at least you're honest about that bias.
Yeah,
that's
but
good.
On the other hand, you know, I'm sure that maybe if there is a Ravens radio similar to what we offer in terms of products here on Patriots.com, maybe these guys are also saying that, you know, the Ravens have a lot of issues that cannot be overcome against the Pats. So I'm not really sure if it's the reality or not.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think that has ever entered into the equation. I think those guys are feeling pretty good about themselves, that they're, and based on what I've read this week, you know, and from the area newspapers there, that, you know, they kind of feel like they're rounding back into shape and beginning to realize again that this team, was on a bit of a run last year late, and that there's still enough of a holdover effect from that where they're getting ready to do the same thing this year, even though they've had almost a complete and total makeover defensively. 6 starters off of that Super Bowl defense last year, not on this year's team, but now this year's team is starting to play some defense.
Yeah, I think their defense is good. I'm not sure about their offense, though. I mean, what they've done last week against, you know, the Lions, I mean, the Lions should have killed them. I mean, you know, if
should have, right.
Megatron doesn't drop a few balls, we're not even talking about the fact that these guys, you know, are a Super Bowl team.
That's a great point, but the problem here is that Baltimore seems to have some karma going for whatever reason they've got it going. They seem to have that. I mean, they've been able to squeak by, they've been able to eke by, they've been able to do whatever it takes to win. And
we have, by the way.
Yeah, kind of like what we have. And so now that, you know, we're sort of seeing that shine come off of, you know, that luster come off of the shine, you know, you have to think that maybe Baltimore could be due as well. I will certainly open up and think and tell you that the Patriots can win this game. It's just that based on the trends going in, it doesn't look good.
Well, you know what? I mean, the good news is that if we do win, it's a major statement game. And
sure.
If we make that statement, everyone is going to say again, oh, we're back in the saddle. And by the way, we would be back in the saddle. But, you know, we can address their running game because I don't think Ray Rice is half the man that he used to be. No pun intended, because he's pretty short.
It's a good one.
Come on, Kevin.
Kevin.
All right, too late. I'm not sure how, so, you know, we can contain that running game, I believe. I'm not sure about how Flacco is going to produce a good game with the strain that he has. Is he going to be affected by it or not? That's the question that I have. And if he is he going to be able to?
He's been limited in practice this week, that I can tell you.
Yeah.
He has been limited. I don't expect that it'll affect him at all. I really don't. I think the Patriots will probably be able to put some pressure on him, because Baltimore's offensive line has been up and down. They have not been very run savvy, so I hope that plays into the Patriots' favor. I think they're going to have to go over the top to beat him, and I think that's where the definitive advantage lies, because you got Torrey Smith on one side, you got Jacoby Jones on the other, and Aqib Talib can't cover them both, and that's my biggest problem.
Feels like almost like a repeat from last year's championship game.
Yeah.
Where as soon as Talib went away,
yeah,
you know, it was like, you know, opening the floodgate of the Niagara Falls and
the
another deluge.
And the X factor in all this is the return of Pitta at tight end, who's a pretty good player. So that's where I think that there's just a slight edge to Baltimore in this particular instance.
Well, and also the fact that the Pats have no room for error, so they're gonna hopefully come out and sling and try to win this game.
Well, I hope that they do, but I also hope that if they're going to come out and sling, that, you know, when it calls for a run, you run. I mean, if they can run the ball and eat the clock up and really make Baltimore one-dimensional, then I think the Patriots are probably still going to be better for it, because then they can load up and play nickel, you know, in even dime situations in the defensive backfield, and, you know, and then they can, you know, pick their poison. Who are you going to double on? You're going to double on Torrey, you're going to double on Jacoby, and then it's going to make Flacco have to hook up and man coverage. And so whichever one you double on, Aqib's probably going to get the other guy, and you kind of like your chances maybe if you're the Patriots in that instance.
No, I also think that Flacco hasn't been very precise or very, he hasn't been as hot as he has been last year
right
at this point.
Right.
So maybe there is another chance for us to get back to creating some turnover, which we haven't done.
Well, that's, I mentioned that in the opening hour of the show, Olivier, that's the key. This defense has to has to turn over Baltimore in Baltimore's end of the field and make it a short field for the offense to put points on the board, preferably touchdowns. But in a game of field goals that you know you're probably going to get with two good kickers, you just better take advantage of any break that you get. And if you can, I like the Patriots' chances increasing as the game goes along. But if you don't get anything, you're not going to get anything at the end.
I agree with you 100%. Well, I should say, as a concluding my call with you, John, is that my desideratum is for a Patriots victory on Sunday.
Wow. Wow. You pulled out yesterday's word of the day.
I know.
I didn't even get a chance to get to Eric for the word of the day today because we were so backed up by time here today and the schedule being all screwed up. But, wow, that's desideratum. I like that. All right.
Are you going to have a show next week on Tuesday?
We will not on Tuesday because they're going to do a special podcast earlier in the day on Tuesday and play it back that afternoon in the time slot. So
okay.
I won't have a show Tuesday. Obviously, Wednesday off for the holiday. I will be back Thursday next week.
Fantastic.
Thursday next week. So what
I wish you a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. Merry Christmas.
I'll talk to you on Thursday.
Quickly, though, you have to tell me what you're bringing to the party.
So, you know, when I heard the first podcast on Tuesday, I was actually thinking, and maybe I was too naive, that you guys were organizing something and expecting people to fly from all over the country to actually be there. So
well,
I was on the internet, like, all right, you know, I'm going to be flying here, and so because I was going to come.
Now, if you want to come on, and we'll have a party. I promise you.
Well, so since this is interactive,
yes,
I'm bringing a lot of champagne.
Nice.
I'm bringing some oysters.
Ooh.
And caviar.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We're highfalutin now.
And then music. Oh, you know, I. Leonard Skinner, baby. Freebird.
I love that. Boy, we go highbrow. We go highbrow with champagne and caviar, and then we just dig deep with Leonard Skinner.
And then we'll finish it with some good Hank Williams Jr.
Oh, my God. Olivier, we have to party. That's all there is to it. We just have to.
I agree.
Thank you, my
John.
Man.
Thanks, Kevin.
Happy
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas, Olivier.
How about that? He was looking for the drum rip a little bit earlier, and you were just... There you go. Well, better late than never, Olivier. Wow. I got a party with that guy. That's hysterical. Oh, my goodness. All right, here we go. Twitter, Joel says, Pats edge out Ravens by 4 points. Pats defense turns the ball over 2 times in the Ravens territory. Pats 24, Ravens 20. Okay. Nick on Twitter says, pick for Pats Ravens game. I'm going to put hope in the Pats to win it close, 27-23. Brady has a better game. So does the defense. Okay. All right. Chris on Facebook, Baltimore 27-17. To the Christmas party, I would bring cookies, eggnog, and a Casting Crowns Christmas album. Thank you, Chris. Somebody has to do it right, right? And Mary Beth, she says, Merry Christmas. Pats 27, Ravens 24. God knows how this will happen, but it will. She says, I also get so upset when the Pats lose, I can barely watch any other games. Mm. Well, I know the feeling behind that one, Mary Beth, for sure. And I think a lot of Patriots fans would probably share that same exact sentiment. Sean says, John, like you, I haven't been feeling good about this game all week, so unfortunately I'm going to have to pick Baltimore. My score is going to be 27-14, Ravens. I think the Patriots will keep it close early, but I think Baltimore will pull away toward the end of the game. Patriots are so banked up, they're not good in the red zone. I don't think the defense will be able to get a stop or a turnover when they need it. Next weekend will determine if the Patriots go forward or not. I don't like it. Hope I'm wrong. Seems to be kind of just a general, I don't know, I don't want to say consensus, but just a sort of a feeling. Malaise, what is it? It's something like that along those lines. All right, let's go to the emails. Mary says, John, I'd be very happy if you are a Patriots fan because they will make a statement on Sunday. They've played tough with all the championship contenders. It will all come together on Sunday. Brady's going to throw a couple of touchdowns. We will win 31-17. We will run it down their throat and score in the red zone. With all that said, Baltimore won't take New England for granted, but Joe Flacco ranks right up there with Eli Manning and Trent Dilfer. All right. I like it, Mary. Tim in San Francisco. John, I like the Pats turning on the old December magic. Patriots 30, Ravens 24. Finally, we play a good game and win with a big fourth down stop late in the fourth quarter. Brady figures out how to win using this offense. Expect a bigger game from Ridley as he finds the end zone, maybe twice. Go Pats and hook 'em horns, he says. My girlfriend is a UT alumni, so I support her and you. Thank you, Tim in San Francisco. Die says, greetings from Texas, John. If I was attending the party, I'd have to mix it up a little and add some girly flair. I'd bring mimosas to drink, sausage puffs as a snack, and Josh Groban's Christmas CD. You're still invited, Di. But to be honest, all I want for Christmas is for the Pats to make it to the playoffs. I'm keeping the faith and believing this can come true. Might not be easy, but anything's possible. Thank you, Di. Appreciate that. Here we go, Howard, in Connecticut. Merry Christmas. Pats 23, Ravens 20. Pats win on a late or overtime field goal. It depends if they get Dobson and Tompkins, one or both back, because that automatically makes the red zone O better. I'm assuming they get at least one back. And as of today, yeah, it does, Howard, look like at least one's back. They were both back at practice today. The O, which moved the ball and scored last week against a good Dolphin D, was in its first week of transition to the O without Gronk. This was week two. I think they'll be even better. As for the D, this is my nitpick. Sorry I couldn't write in on Tuesday, but the coaching staff has to stop putting players in position to fail. Could not agree more. Like Hightower on a running back in coverage, or Hightower in coverage period. Arrington covering the outside wide receivers. He's better on the slot receivers. Could not agree more. Bland 3- and 4-man rushes, leaving the secondary trying to cover receivers for too long. Absolutely. Most every time they blitz or apply some form of pressure, they either force an errant throw or get off the field. Drives me insane when they play passive and they don't break. Play the bend but don't break D. On O, the play calling going away from what's working. Yeah. Okay, you can join the rest of us on that one, Howard. He says, by the way, I'm bringing Grey Goose and cranberry chips and chili cheese dip. Okay, Stratford, Connecticut, you're in the house. Thank you, Howard. Mev says, John, Pats are missing key players. The record away from New England this season isn't great. Plus, the Ravens are one of the best Ds in the red zone and on third downs. But I'm going to go Pats 23, Ravens 17. Thank you, Mev. Nothing like a little positivity to make the room feel better. Ross in Canada, even if the Pats were healthy, I wouldn't feel overly confident with them going into Baltimore. Ravens are a team that has historically always played as tough. This fight, and this fight is in their house. That being said, I'm roughly 49% confident we win. This game were at Gillette, I'd be 51% confident on the Pats. Both teams need this one desperately. Get ready for a rock fight. Matthew. Brooklyn Matt. Merry freaking Christmas, Brooklyn Matt. This is the last show before Christmas? Well, same to you, Kevin, you big lummox. John, you're a familiar, welcome presence. I especially liked hearing the rookie in the studio. We always heard you give occasional updates during his formative years, and now he's a big Marquette college boy on Christmas break and on the air with his proud pappy. John, thanks for streaming into our homes 3 afternoons a week. You're like an uncle or something.
That's pretty good.
I like that. Oh, merry freaking Christmas.
Crazy
Brooklyn,
old
man.
Uncle.
Yeah, that's me. Well, you know what? That's actually what my nephews and nieces refer to me as, believe it or not.
I believe it.
I am not Uncle John. I am Crazy Uncle John.
I believe it.
Yeah, that's me. That's me. And I don't have any little ones anymore. The youngest is 14. Youngest is 14 now. God, I'm old. Ray from New York. John, there's cause for concern. I'm not throwing the white flag up on our season just yet because I do believe this team can pull out a win in Baltimore, but only if all phases of the team are playing at their absolute best. That being said, in the words of Paul Perillo, I am emotionally prepared to lose. This will be a great game to watch, should come right down to the final play, which, hey, it's what football should be about. I'm hoping this team comes out pissed right out of the gate, turns this into revenge from last year and from the loss in Miami last week. Ultimately, though, I think we'll continue to stub our toe. Whew. Boy, Ray, you get me going, and then you let me down there. He says, my prediction for Sunday's game, 28-17 Baltimore. Ray from New York. Well written, though, Ray. Well written. You'd probably be good at suspense novels. Joel from Connecticut. John, here's my take. Patriots have had one hell of a season. There have been a lot of ups and downs, but one thing I never allowed myself to do was give up. I have never given up when I was in Afghanistan, and I will never give up on my Pats. God bless you, Joel. We may not have the J.J. Watt everyone wants, or the Larry Fitzgerald, or the Darrell Revis, or the Patrick Willis, but which of those guys has a ring? Flacco and his squad are phonies. We know what it means to win tough games in New England. We know what it means to witness greatness. We know what a dynasty feels like. We're not going to lose. Flacco will be flaccid. I like that. No, I don't like flaccid, but you know what I mean. The O-line will do its job. Ridley will remind us why he's our best running back. Tom will be terrific because he has to be, and because we'll get these birds back for last year. It'll be ugly. It'll be frustrating, but we will prevail. He says, my resolve is unwavering. We will add to Flacco's turnover column this Sunday. Patriots 23, Ravens 17. Oh, yeah! Joel, I am fired up beyond belief. That's a great email. Thank you for your service. Josh from Charlottesville, Virginia. John, I'm sorry. I feel as though I've been neglecting you guys lately. I've been swamped this year. Approaching the holidays has been hard for me to find the time. Real estate in Charlottesville usually gets quieter this time of year, but apparently not in 2013. Well, I'm glad business is good, Josh. Anyways, I'm calling the game 31-27. Pats win. Gotta go because my phone is ringing, but wishing you and yours the best this holiday season. And P.S., tell Kat to drop me an email sometime. Oh, my. I love a woman that's passionate about her football. Well, there you go. Yeah, Kat, I told you, she's a keeper for a lot of people around here. No question about it. Luke says, John, considering how bad and underachieving the Ravens are right now this year, and I have a hard time conceiving New England cannot pull off a win on the road. It'll be competitive, no doubt about it. Ravens have solid players, but they're also borderline mediocre. 29th in red zone scoring. Ray Rice a disaster. Flacco more interceptions than touchdowns and so on. Well, about even, actually. I think it's 18-17 is the ratio there. Anyway, he says 25-19. Patriots. Sean, Ravens 27, Pats 13. Leading up to a stressful week at home against Buffalo, a team with nothing to lose. He says Buffalo 21, Pats 20. Woo! Sean, that's a double killer today. John, this is Ian from Colorado. I do believe. I think Belichick will take Rice and Pitta out of the equation. I think the pass rush continues to get better. That'll be a factor. I see the offense going up tempo, running the ball well, keeping the Ravens D on their heels, wearing them down. The Patriots make the play at the end of the game. They missed last week. 27-23, Patriots. For Eric, to sublimate is also the process by which a substance goes from a solid state to a gaseous state without becoming a liquid first. Water is the most common substance which does this. Sublimate. Yeah, I know. Was that a word? That was a recent word, I think. Sublimate, wasn't it? I go from a solid state to a gaseous state a lot. So does that mean I sublimate? Is that what they call it?
I had to do that during the show. That's why I ran the hell out of here.
Thank God you didn't run in here. That's all I'm saying.
By the way, don't stop by the bathroom on the way out.
Woo, man. Oh, my Calzona, goodness.
Why don't you kill me?
Oh. Feliz Navidad, John. Gustavo from Mission, Texas. Feliz Navidad, Gustavo. Early Christmas gift. Clinching the division. Pats 27, Ravens 23. Game will end with Flacco strip sack at the Patriot 23. We're going to have to remember that if it actually happens. Felix says, real quick, if I'm not too late, nope, you're not too late. Christmas party, drink, Johnny Walker scotch, snack, cheesecake bites, music undecided, though. Prediction, Pats 34, Ravens 20. Thank you, Felix. Eric from San Gabriel gets the final word. Flacco will throw a couple of picks. Pats will force a couple of fumbles. Pats will give up some big plays. Pats will struggle at times in the red zone. Pats will win 23-20. Man, you are right on. You are right on. That's a good one. All right, gang, thank you very much for all the cards and letters today. Thank you for your participation in the program. Hopefully, the Patriots will end up on the positive note here in spite of our own self-predictions around these parts, and that we have, you know, certainly a title already in hand and a potential bye to talk about at this time next week. If not, well, then guess what? We'll nitpick over it. We'll talk about the Buffalo Bills, which will be a must-win situation, and we'll find out if this team can finally get its way into the dance, because at this stage of the season, that's really all that counts right now is getting into that tournament. So for Kevin and for Eric and all of us here on Patriots.com radio, we wish you and yours a very, very happy holiday. Merry Christmas. I hope it is safe and sound for everyone out there. Take some time to hug somebody at least once or twice. And we'll be back here next Thursday, post-Christmas, for the recap. Okay, we've got Fantasy Guys and Football Nation coming up next.
We'll have Nitpick Thursday.
We'll have Nitpick Thursday, yeah.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everybody. See you next week. La, 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 la.
Jingle bells around his feet and presents on the sled. Hey, look at the mayor's derby on top of Dominic's head. A pair of shoes for Louis and a dress for Josephine. The label on the inside says they're made in Brooklyn. Hey, jingity ching, it's Dominic the donkey. Jingity ching, the Italian Christmas donkey. La la la, la 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 la. La la la, la 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 dioda.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.